The countdown to Iditarod 54 is upon us. This is the Burled Arch Podcast, sponsored by Mushing Magazine and the Team and Trail Foundation. Let's kick this off.
Nobody covers dog sledding like Mushing from First Paw Media. Our team of athletes, volunteers, race organizers, and mushers like Robert and Michelle Forto brings you closer to this sport. If it's happening, we are there. Live from the qualifying races in January and February, the Iditarod in March, and in the summer, Mushing takes you on the road with our team and trail tour. We connect you with a history of this sport, in-depth interviews with the top mushers, and great storytelling and breaking news all year long. Follow on mushing.com.
Hello and welcome to the Iditarod podcast here on the Burled Arch, sponsored by Mushing. I am Robert.
I'm Michelle.
And we are back for our 16th year here on the podcast. This started way back in 2010 with a show called Mush the Huskies. Mush You Huskies was the name of it. And here we are all these years later, still plugging away. We're hosting right here from our home in Willow, Alaska, about 5 miles from the Iditarod restart. And I just got back from the musher meeting, and I have some numbers for you guys. We have 37 mushers, 23 veterans, 3 champions, including defending champion Jesse Holmes. We have Ryan Reddington and a late entry for Pete Kaiser. We have 14 rookies, 25 men, 12 women, 5 countries, 16 dogs, which is about 600 dogs if everybody starts with the full number, which is about 2,400 dog paws. We have 2 expedition mushers, including one who is supporting one of those guys, a former champion, Thomas Werner. And then we have another one, a very late entry, who kind of came in under the radar. His name is Steve Curtis. He is a Canadian, and he is going to be supported with a cast of characters, including former Iditarod champion Jeff King. Jeff and his crew are going to be on snow machines, so it's going to be interesting to see how those guys work out. It is about 1,000 miles, 975 miles to be exact, 22 checkpoints. The middle checkpoint on the northern route this year is in Cripple, and as Mark Nordman said, there is a lot of snow. The trail crew took about 8 days to get from this side of the Alaska Range and on over to Dalzell Gorge. So a lot of work is being done there. The Iditarod Trail Committee, the ITC, which is the race that started a week or two ago with fat bikes and skis and even runners and walkers, are currently holed up in McGrath because there's so much snow and they have to wait for the trail breaking crew that will come through about Tuesday before they can continue on their race. As we mentioned, the middle point there in Cripple, Nordman did say lots of snow onward towards the Yukon. Elam has so much snow and so much work that has to been done over there. They had to put in 18 miles of new trail, and I believe he said the Native Corp is doing that work over on that end. Otherwise, it is smooth sailing here on the northern route this year. So it's a little bit different than what we've seen in the past, in particular, the 2 expedition mushers. And I'm going to talk about that in just a second. But Michelle, welcome back to the show. I know we have a very busy 2 weeks ahead of us. It is going to be a crazy podcast season here on the Burled Arch. Make sure, guys, before I have Michelle jump in here, that you hit that plus or subscribe button, follow, whatever it's called, and you will get the updates as soon as they drop. We're going to be on here every night for about 2.5 weeks between tonight and the finishers banquet on the third Sunday of March this year. I think it's around the 22nd or 23rd when the banquet will be held. Michelle, welcome back to the show. How are things going?
It's a crazy life we live, Robert.
It is, and I'm excited to be back on here with you. We're going to do some things a little bit different this year. We're going to drop a couple of new features, but this is really just our kickoff show to let folks know that we came out of the woodwork, I guess, as they say, and we are back for another year.
Hello and welcome to all of our rabid fans. We are so glad that you guys stick around and come back year after year to hear our coverage of the Iditarod and really all things mushing. We started this show off, as Robert said, we called it Mush You Huskies, and it's evolved over the years and grown as we have, and now it is called the Burled Arch. A lot of you guys are excited just as much as we are about this year's Iditarod. I'm excited because, you know, there is about half of the group is rookies.
Yeah, I mean, really excited with the field this year. We're going to give our predictions and our rundowns on Friday as we typically do. I'll give you the format of the show in just a second, but it is a pretty small field of just 37 mushers. And I know that you're already thinking about your musher profile of the evening. That is always a highlight of the show. I know you keep these pretty close to your vest, but is anybody sticking out on this very small list?
You know, this very small list with this short period of time, I don't know. I might get every single one of them on a profile. But right off the bat, I really want to dive into a little bit about Josie Shelley. You know, she won the 750 inaugural Yukon Quest this year. And I think that's kind of a story in and of itself that deserves some time slot here on our show. I'm excited about Jody Potts Joseph, and I'm also excited about our neighbor who's running Vern Halter's dog, Cindy Bale, and I'm always interested to see who is out there running the puppy teams, if you will, and so we've got a couple of other mushers in mind, but I'm not going to give away all of the secrets, Robert.
No, and speaking of those puppy teams, neither of the CVs are running this year. I think they've combined forces as they've done in the last couple of years, and they have a couple of mushers out of their kennels, both Dallas and Mitch. They're taking the years off. Man, there are some big-time names on there. As we mentioned, three champions in the running for the money, so to speak. As we mentioned, Jesse Holmes, who he's going to be tough to beat, Ryan Reddington, and, of course, that late entry with Pete Kaiser. But what's interesting this year, and we're going to talk a lot about this over the course of our coverage, is something that the Iditarod CEO, Rob Urbach, really hit home. And it was about the two expedition mushers. Are two of them. One is from Canada. The other one is from Norway. And they hit it home and they said, these guys are not competing for any prize money. They have various rules that they have to follow. And it's going to be a very interesting experience to watch these guys go and how the stories develop. But what's interesting is the people that are providing the sport. As we mentioned earlier, former champion Thomas Werner, who is back from his championship. So I guess he would technically be a defending champ since he left as a champion and did not come back. I know I'll probably get some slack with that, but he was the champion on the COVID year. And if you remember back then, 6 years ago now, he finished the race and he had a heck of a time getting back to his home country. But he is going to be on a dog team with his expedition musher. And then we have the very late entry with Steve Curtis, who really flew under the radar. And today was the first day I heard of it when Rob Urbach announced it with a team of support staff, including Jeff King, who is going to be snow machine support for Mr. Curtis. Both of these guys donated considerable amounts of money to the race. And I know they announced yesterday a dental health program that the Norwegian musher is backing up, which is very interesting in of itself. And they're going to provide dental care and kits and cleanings and all that sort of stuff to the villages there in Nome. And remember that this musher gave considerable amounts of money to each entry. And I think it was $100,000 for the purse. Rob Urbach did say that the winner will receive $80,000 as the winner. And I think he said $60,000 for number two and $50,000 or $40,000. My number aren't correct. I did not write that down, but we'll definitely talk about that as we're going on. So,
well, Robert, you know, Curtis is such a late entry. He's not even on the Iditarod.com yet.
Like I said, this was the first day I heard his name, and we keep our finger on the pulse as much as we can with our coverage through the magazine and social media and all that. I heard the rumblings of Jeff King, but my understanding, at least up till today, he was just running in the ceremonial start. He was going to run out and do his thing, but I guess he's got something up his sleeve.
I guess so. But, you know, I'm thinking it might be a good idea due to a little bit of our own schedules getting in the way, especially for tomorrow night's show. Maybe we do a little bit of a deep dive into this whole expedition category.
Yeah,
tomorrow's show.
I'm excited to learn more about that and see how they work out. So tomorrow is the banquet. If you've never been to the banquet and the Iditarod is on your bucket list, that is something you need to include. It is a party. It's a formal dinner. Everybody who is anybody in the Iditarod circles is there. Pretty good food. They have an auction. They have giveaways. They have meet and greets. They have pictures. The whole nine yards, but you have to get your tickets ahead of time. I do not think they have any walk-up tickets. So if you're planning a trip up to Anchorage and Iditarod is on your list, I highly recommend hitting up the banquet. And longtime Iditarod fans know that the banquet is always on Thursdays, and then Friday is sort of a rest day, getting everything in gear, the mushers as they are, getting everything packed, ready to go, typically meeting family and friends for the last time before the ceremonial start on Saturday. And then the restart for time is on Sunday right here in Willow. So the format of our show is this. Every day we typically air right around 7 o'clock p.m. Alaska time. I know that that is late on the East Coast. That would be 11 p.m. Alaska time. That would be 8 p.m. Pacific time. I'm guessing it's 9 hours later in the in Europe, in England. So I guess it'd be closer to morning at that point there. And then remember, this is a 24-hour race. So whatever we're talking about late into the evening, you can definitely catch the show in the morning and be caught up. But we have a whole bunch of things up our sleeve, so to speak, of things that we're going to release this year. But the general format is we host every night between now and the banquet, starting tonight. Tomorrow we'll talk about the banquet, probably talk about the expedition mushers. On Friday, we will do our top five predictions. That will be the first night of Michelle's musher of the evening. We'll give some news and notes of the day on the trail. We'll talk about where people are on the trackers. We typically have a story that we focus on, and we talk about all sorts of things from run rest schedules, vet care, the Iditarod Air Force, the different checkpoints, the different dogs, gear, all sorts of things we typically cover on a nightly story. Any breaking news that is happening, meaning people making moves, if anybody has been scratched or withdrawn, that sort of thing. And then we take listener questions. And this year we have three ways to do that. You can firstly do it by sending us an email to podcast@mushing.com. We will get your email and read it on air and give you the best answer that we possibly can. You can also send a text message to 303-578-9881. You can also leave a voice memo, and you can do that by calling that same number, 303-578-9881. And if you have an email that supports it, I know Gmail does, you can leave a voice memo right there from your phone, and it'll be attached as an email, and we'll get those there as well. Just remember, if you do give us a voice memo, we are probably going to put that voice memo on air. So you have to be willing and able to share your voice. I know that is a hindrance to some, I guess would be the proper word for it, but it's fun. Yeah, you're going to ask your questions. We'll give you some answers. If we do not know the answer to the questions, we will do our best to find out. Michelle, what am I missing?
It's a whole heck of a lot less anxious if you're doing it as a recording than if we talked you into coming on live and asking your questions with us live.
And I know we've had some really cool voice memos come in. Last year, we had a whole bunch of questions from students over in Kenya. I think we had one every night about that. That was always fun. And people are asking the craziest of questions. Sometimes it's even the family members of folks on the trail, and they want to give a shout out to their musher and give us an update on that. I know we've done that in the past. Michelle, what else am I missing on the format?
Well, I'm going to try my best to bring in a little bit of trivia. We've done some trivia in the past, and it's gone over fairly well. But since we give out the phone number, I think it might be fun if I add in a little trivia starting on Friday night, and we get you guys to call in or email or message us, as Robert said, and he'll give you the information one more time about giving us some answers. And I don't know, we might come up with a little prize for somebody during this year's coverage.
And folks that may or may not know this, we are also the owners or purveyors of whatever you want to call it, of the Team and Trail, the Mushers Monthly News. We purchased that at the same time we purchased Mushing Magazine. And we have about 50 odd years or so of printed material with a heck of a lot of trivia. And I would say 90% of that has never been published on the internet. So the trivia questions that we come up with, you probably can't get from a Google search, and I bet that dang ChatGPT can't find an answer either.
Yeah, I'm not going to make it easy.
Yeah, we are not going to make it easy, but we're going to make it fun. If you are not an Iditarod insider, we highly recommend that. Of course, that is a way that you can follow the race right there on Iditarod.com. It is an annual fee. I think it's $49. We'll get you the right numbers for that. And they have a bunch of new features as well. They talked about in the Mushers media meeting today that they have 5 live stream cameras, and you're able to switch views, whether that be in checkpoints or different cameras in the same checkpoint or trail cams and all that sort of stuff. They're going to do text updates as well. They're going to do nightly recaps. I wonder if they got that from us. They're going to do a bunch of stuff there on the Iditarod Insider. And of course, the ever popular chat room. And boy, that really gets going pretty quickly in the chat. And that is a 24-hour free-for-all in that chat. And I'm looking at the countdown right now. At the time of recording, we're at 2 days, 14 hours, 59 minutes, and 18 seconds until the start of the Iditarod on March 7th, 2026. Again, that phone number to reach us is 303-578-9881 or podcast@mushing.com. We have had a whole bunch of people ask, how can folks listen to us? The easiest way is just to find whatever podcast player or platform that you're used to and hit that plus button, follow, subscribe, whatever is on the app that you're listening to. That way you will never miss an episode, whether we're doing them at 7 o'clock Alaska time or 4 p.m. your time or whatever time it is, they will pop right onto your device. You can also find our episodes over on mushing.com. There will be a player for every episode right there on the homepage. Now, that will take a little bit of time after we upload to the podcast feeds. It takes about an hour or so. So if you want an instantaneous fix, I highly suggest you follow us and subscribe on the players. And of course, you can definitely follow us on social media. We're at Mushing Magazine on Facebook, Mushing Mag on Instagram, and I believe it is Mushing Mag on X. And we do dabble in TikTok from time to time. We're not out of the TikTok forest yet, are we, Michelle? We're a little old for it, but we dabble.
We do our best.
So, Michelle, anything else before we go? It's a short show tonight. It's just the kickoff.
I just got to tell anybody out there, if you are in town and it's your first time to Alaska and to the Iditarod, welcome and enjoy yourself, but be prepared because the difference in temperature between Anchorage during the ceremonial start and in Willow during the official restart is drastic. It is about 20 degrees colder this year here in Willow, and it most definitely will be standing on that lake than it has been in years past. So please dress prepared and enjoy the day.
And speaking of the changing in weather, it has been bluebird skies, which equal clear nights for the last couple of weeks. And I think that's going to continue on through the first days of Iditarod. If you're up at a ungodly hour, 3 a.m.-ish, if you wander outside, there's a pretty good chance you'll probably see the Aurora Borealis, or as we call them up here, the Northern Lights. Those only occur when it is clear sky. So if it is overcast.
And for some reason, they seem to only occur at 3 a.m.
They do. There are apps and things that you can download and check, which gives a pretty good predictor. But I bet if you are in a hotel room or staying with friends and family, if you set that alarm for about 2 a.m. or so, you're pretty good chance to catch them, even up here in Willow, where most of the light pollution is non-existent. So we get a
The blood moon has been causing a little bit of light pollution.
Yeah, so we get pretty good views up here. So if you wander your way up here, definitely check it out. I know that is a highlight for most. So guys, we will be back tomorrow night. Tomorrow night we're starting in earnest, and we will be here every night for the next 2.5 weeks or so. We look forward to doing this as we always do. And be sure to tell your family and friends all about us and have them listen to the show as well. We'll talk to you guys next time. Goodbye.
Got a dog training problem? There's a podcast for that to stay updated on everything dogs do on Dog Works Radio, a podcast hosted by master dog trainers and business coaches, Robert and Michelle Forteau. Every week, they will introduce you to pet professionals with unique insights on dogs in the veterinary world, in books and films, and working with canines. The podcast also answers questions like how long does it take to train a puppy, or what are the different training styles? Get some surprising answers on Dog Works Radio, wherever you listen to podcasts.